Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bamatzia Daf Zayin. We are holding on Daf Vav Amid Beis. We are four lines from the end of the page. V'i Salka Daitach. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha LaShalom, and also by Daniel Sadin for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and for our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to conclude the sugya of Takfu Kohen, and we're going to relate back to the question of whether a Safek is Chayiv in Meiser, and discuss how that relates to the issue of Takfu Kohen. Then the Gemara is going to go back to conclude the issue relating to that bathhouse that was in dispute, where you had the person, one of the people who were disputing over the ownership of the bathhouse, was Makdish the bathhouse. So is that a valid form of Hekdish? Are people allowed to use the bathhouse? So we're going to come to a conclusion about that. And then in the second half of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to discuss keeping the part of the talis that a person is holding on to. Meaning, Shnayim Ochsin B'talis, yeah, they're Cholkin, but what if I'm holding on to a larger portion of the talis than the other fellow is holding on to? So do we assume at least what's in my hand I would keep, and what the ramifications are for that on the inyan of kinyan sudar, which is a very common form of kinyan that we do? Then the Gemara is going to have a brisa about two people holding on to a shtar. So how do you split that when there are two people holding a shtar? Or what exactly are the assumptions? Do you need a kiyum ashtar? Is not needed kiyumashtar, is to give it back to one party? Do you split it? Then the Gemara is going to have a stira within Shitas Rabbi Yossi, where the Rabbi Yossi is choshesh that a found shtar has already been paid. So we have a stira in two different places where Rabbi Yossi seems to contradict himself, and the Gemara is going to have three ways of resolving that stira within Rabbi Yossi. And then on the second half of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss how one divides a shtar. Do you actually cut the paper and half? What does that do for you exactly? What does dividing things mean in all these contexts? When you divide a shtar, when you divide a talis, when you divide a behema, do you actually physically divide the thing, or do we look at what it's worth and go with the monetary value of it? So let's begin. Again, we're really right in the middle of a conversation, but Abaye is explaining his raya from the Mishnah that Suffolk is not, that a Suffolk animal is not chayiv in Meiser. That if you have an animal that's a Suffolk, whether it's a bar chiyuva in Meiser or not, that it's not chayiv in Meiser. So he had brought a Mishnah that it said that kafatz echon min amnuy l'tochan kulin peturin. That if, let's say, you started counting out your meiser behem animals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then one of the ones you've already counted jumps back right into the pen, so now they're all potter because there's a suffix among them. So says Abaye, v'isalkadaitach sveika ba'isure. If you're going to say that a sveika, meaning if you have an animal that you're mesubak, whether it's chayiv and meiser or not, that you need to be ma'aserit, you need to take meiser from it. So if there's a possibility for that, why would we say kulan peturin la aser? Let the guy take meiser from all the sheep that are in the pen right now, and it'll be yotze yischiv meiser mi manavshach, and it's going to work mi manavshach. That all of the 10 that go out, and he's mekadish the 10th one, it will work no matter what, because the bar chiyuva who, if the 10th one that went out is a bar chiyuva, then the kedusha meiser is going to be chal, because yeah, if let's say all 10 that he counted out in this unit of 10, all 10 that he counted out are actually Bnei Chiyuva. So good, so the 10th one is Meiser. Shapir Ma'aser. He did exactly right. The Ilav Bar Chiyuva Hu. And if that 10th one is not a Bar Chiyuva, because one of the 10 that was the one that jumped back in and had already been counted, and therefore is not included in the Chiyuv Meiser, so Niftar B'minyan Arayi. Still, the ones that he counted out right now should all be potter, because at least they've all been counted. Meaning, even though Enochinami, the 10th one that you counted wasn't really the 10th, because one of the other ones was already not chayiv. So, but the counting that you did at least made them all counted. And at the time that you, as long as you counted animals in a way where it could have led to a chiyuv meiser, even though at the end of the day it didn't actually lead to a 10th one, becoming Meiser, then all of them are Potter from Meiser. That's a way of exempting from Meiser, that if you count them all out, even though it doesn't come to fruition that the 10th one becomes Meiser Behema, any animal that you've already counted out, that's called a minyan hara'ui, that since at the time that you counted it out, it was a reasonable, valid counting, even though it didn't come to fruition, all of them are pata from Meiser. So manavshach, if all the animals that I'm counting out, all 10 animals I'm counting out over here are chayiv, great, then the 10th one is Meiser Behema. And even if they're not all chayiv, they're at least a minyan hara'ui, and as a minyan hara'ui, they become potter from Meiser Behema. Da'amar Rava, minyan hara'ui, that if you have minyan, a number that you counted out, that could have concluded with a 10th one being chayiv and Meiser, poter, it potters those that have been counted, even though the count never came to its completion and was paused in the middle. For example, let's say you have 10 sheep, you counted out 5 of them, and you weren't able to count the other 5 and be Mekadish the 10th one till one of the ones that didn't get counted dropped dead, because one of the ones that didn't get counted yet dropped dead. So you thought you had 10 sheep, and you thought you were just going to be Mekadish the last sheep out of the pen. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you look, and one of the 5 that are still in the pen, it dropped dead. So now I'm not going to be able to count the other 5. So I only have 4 left in there, so I'm not able to be mashlim the minion. Nevertheless, the 5 that I already counted are putter from going through Meiser again. They've already been counted. That's what's called a minyan hara'ui. A minyan hara'ui is paters. Now, the 4 that have not yet been counted are still chayiv in Meiser Behema. So if you have more animals that are born into your flock that year, so good, those 4 are going to be combined with all the others in order to be chayiv in Meiser Behema. So that halacha of minyan hara'ui is derived from the fact that the Torah says, kol asher yavar tachas hashavet, ha'asiri yeh kodesh la Hashem. So the Gemara in Becharos, Daf Nun Tesam Beis, darshins Asher Yavar velo Shekvaravar. That it's Asher Yavar, that which is going to go tachas hashav, that which you're going to count out, but not if it was already counted. If it was already counted in a minyan hara'oi, then that's going to be potter from Meiser Behema. So Abaye now concludes his raya. Elamayis lachlemeimar. What are you going to say to be miyashiv that you're not ma'aser the talayim that are besafek? Asiri vaday amrachman of lo asiri safek. You're going to tell me that only in asiri that's vaday meiser behema do we say that it counts and that it's meiser, but not in asiri safek, meaning the you should not take meiser in a situation where there's no sense of certainty that the 10th one is actually kadosh. Maybe that's what you're going to argue, that if I can't be sure that the 10th one that I'm counting is actually kadosh, then there's no din of meiser. So over here, when one of the animals that are in the pen is not chayiv meiser, because it had already been counted and jumped back in, so if I'm ma'aser it together with all the rest of them, it's always going to be in asiri safek. Because when I count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then I try to be maktish number 10. I don't know, maybe number 7 was the one that had already been counted and jumped back in the pen. So number 10 isn't really number 10, it's really number 9, because one of the other ones, 1 through 9, were not really chayiv in Meiser. So that would be asiri safik. So hachanami, so over here also, we could be, Abaye says, I could be docha, that which I previously said. What did he previously say? He said that when the Brisa says that Sveikos and Nechnasim Ladir this Aser is talking about a case where you have 9 other animals plus the suffix, so then miman of shuch, you're okay. Because if the suffix is actually chayiv, so good, it's meiser behema, and you're good. And if the suffix is pater, it's not really chayiv, so then you only have 9 animals. You never chayiv meiser behema to begin with. So that's what he has said, that so you could do meiser behema in such a way. No, but now that I've established asiri vaday amrachmana velo asiri suffix, so in that case as well, asiri vaday amrachmana velo asiri suffix, you cannot take meiser at all in the case of suffix, and therefore, al karchach, that which you are ma'aser, is because the kohen must not have any tzad zuchia in that tle at all. Otherwise, you would never be able to be ma'aser. So you see from there that takfa kohen motzi miyado, and therefore it's saying no tzad zuchia. The kohen doesn't have any ownership at all. And the conclusion of the Gemara is that if a kohen goes and grabs it, motzi miyado, we take it away from him, we take it back from him. And that seems to be very, very clearly the conclusion of the sugya of Takfa Kohen. What is the curiosity of the sugya of Takfa Kohen is the sheet of the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Bechoros, Perkei Halacha Gimel, paskins that Takfa Kohen Ein Motzino Samiyado. So everyone wonders that we had a whole long sugya over here, a complicated sugya, but one thing that wasn't complicated was the conclusion. The conclusion was that very clearly that Motzino Miyado. So how could the Rambam go against the conclusion of the Gemara? So the Rashba in Tshuva in Simon Shin Yud Aleph writes that the Rambam intends to paskin like Rav Hamnuna, who's Medayik from Lashna, Motzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, that each one is able to be motzi mechavero, and everything that the Gemara said after that is only a dechia ba'alma. So all the whole discussion, the whole back and forth, the whole shakla v'tarya was a dechia to the initial impression, but the initial impression remains correct. And therefore, the Rambam paskins, the initial impression is ein motzi miyado, that you need a motzi mechavero lafaraya goes on both parties, that the original owner, if he's the one holding on to it and the kohen wants to get it, hamotzi mechavero lafaraya, but also of Takfa Kohen, and the Kohen already has it, Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, that if you want to get it back from the Kohen, it's also Alav Haraya. So now the Gemara says, Amalei Ravachim Yidif Ravina, my Sveikos. When the Braisa said, Sveikos and Nichnas Ladir, what exactly does it mean, Sveikos? That you, I'm a Supak whether Chayv Meiser, E Lema, Safik Bechoros, if you want to tell me that I have a Tle that's a Safik Bechor or it's Safik Eno Bechor, so the Braisa says that it could be Mitzdarif with your other animals, well, that's difficult because Ye Kodesh Amarach the halach is Meiser Behema becomes Kadosh. But anything that's already Kadosh, because it's a Bechor, so it's not eligible to be Meiser Behema. So it would still be Asiri Safek. Meaning, based on what we just said, that Asiri Vadayam Rachmana Velo Asiri Safek, a Safek Bechor would be Asiri Safek. It wouldn't work. Ella, what's the case of Safek Bechor that's Chayiv and Meiser, of Sveikos that are Chayiv and Meiser, that are Nichnas Ladir Lisaser? Safik pidyon peter chamar, that I have a safik whether a donkey was a bechor or not. So it's poda it mi safik, meaning when you have a firstborn chamar, you do pidyon chamar, but pidyon peter chamar by exchanging the kedusha or whatever onto a sheep. So I was mesupik about the donkey, and then I did a pidyon peter chamar. It's not kadosh, but it's chayiv in ma'aser behema. That sheep is chayiv in ma'aser behema. Rav Nachman, Dom Rav Nachman, Rav Barvua, Yisrael sheish la sara safik pitrei chamar betoch beso. Let's say a guy had 10 donkeys, and all of them were a suffix whether they were a bechor to their mother or not a bechor to their mother. And as long as he's not pulled to them, they're asur ba'avodami suffix. So what should you do? Mafresh aleyan asarasayin. You should be mafresh 10 sheep. And through that, the Isra Avoda on those chamorim will be lifted. And what do I do with those 10 sheep? Uma Asran, you take Meiser from those 10 sheep, then the Asiri is going to be Kodesh, like Meiser Behema. Because even a Pidyon Peter Chamar is Chayiv in Meiser Behema. Vehein Shalom. But the thing is, that 10th sheep you get to keep, even though Pidyon Peter Chamar goes to a Kohen, because it's a Safek. Maybe the Chamarim were not Bechorim to begin with, so therefore you don't have to actually give it to a Kohen. Now, Tosas raises the question, why do I need 10 sheep if I have 10 Safek Peter Chamars? The halacha is in Maseches Bechoros that a se echad is poter kama pitre chamorim, that a single se can work as an exchange for many chamorim. So why do I need 10 sheep if I have 10 Safek Pidyon Peter Chamars? So Tosos and Bechoros writes that that's only a kasha l'shitas Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says that you can only be poled the se echad kama pa'amim if in between you gave it to the Kohen. So according to that, it's not a kasha because you didn't give it to the Kohen, so you can't be poda on the same set again. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that even if you didn't give it to a Kohen, so that's where we have this kasha. The Tosfos also suggests that maybe it's an extra chiddush, that even though all 10 are pidyon petach hamar, still they're nichnas on the deal of this aser. But in a chinami, even if only one of them was pidyon petach hamar, the halacha would be the same. Okay, so now the Gemara goes back to the bathhouse shaila. Remember, we had the shaila, two people arguing who owns the bathhouse, and one of them goes in as makdish, and the holy Amoraim refused to use that bathhouse until they resolve whether they're allowed to or not. So my avi Allah, what is the hachra'a la halacha demasusa, my avi Allah demasusa, in the case of the bathhouse? So tashma, tamra b'chibarav, and avu uvda, there was a maisa where they asked such a shayla b'rav chista, b'rav chista b'rav huna, b'rav chista asked shayla b'rav huna, upashta, and they were poshet the shayla, mehadam rav nachman, kalmam, shen yachol otziyo b'dayanin, hikdishu enu kadosh, that any money that the baylim is not able to extract with dayanim, he doesn't have edim to bring them to the dayanim, to be made, that it belongs to him, so if he's makdishit, it's not kadosh, because it's not really b'rashuso. So that resolves the issue of the masusa, that if neither tzad had a clear raya, so the fact that one of them was makdish, it is irrelevant. It wasn't bereshuso to be makdish. Ooh, says the Gemara, but the diuk from that is, hayachal otzi b'dayanin. The implication is that had he been able to be motzi b'dayanim, hekdesho kadosh, then he would be able to be makdishit. Even though he didn't actually extract it with Dayanim, he didn't actually win a court case to win it back. But didn't Rabbi Yochanan teach us? If a person steals money from someone else and the Bailim didn't have Yeush, neither party can be Makdish. Zelefi Shayna Shalom, the Gazlim can't be Makdish because it doesn't belong to him. Vizelefi Shayna Rashuso, and the Nigzal can't be Makdish because it's no longer in his Rashus, it's in the Rashus of the Gazlim, and you can't be Makdish that which is not in your Rashus. But wait a second, Astam Gzela, we assume that the Nigzal is going to be able to be Motzi B'dayanim, and yet we're saying that even though he has the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, he does not have the right to be makdish, as long as he has not actually been motzi b'dayanim, because so long as he's not motzi, he's not able to be makdish, because it's still considered to be eino b'rishuso. So isn't that against our diuk? Our diuk was, if you're yachalo motzi b'dayanim, you're able to be makdish, even if you haven't in fact been motzi b'dayanim. Well, a nigzal is someone who's yachalo motzi b'dayanim, who has not yet in fact been motzi b'dayanim, and we say he's not able to be makdish because it's ein b'rishuso. So says Mar Misavrit b'masusa metaltan askinan. You're comparing apples and oranges. I mean, we're talking about a bathhouse. You think a bathhouse is metaltalin, where the bailim can't be makdishit, even though he's able to be motzi b'dayanim because it's the other person is the one who's rishus it's in. B'masusa mekarkoy askinan. We're talking about a bathhouse that's karka. If I only have the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, even though I haven't actually been done it yet, it's in my rishus because it's karka. It doesn't go anywhere. So, enochinami, if I'm talking about metaltalin, that someone had stolen from me, even though I have the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, I cannot be makdish because it's not rishusi. But if I'm talking about karka that someone stole from me, if I have the ability to be motzi b'dayanim, then they have the ability to be makdish because it's right there in my rishus because karka is enonigzelas. So now the Gemara discusses goes back to the case of Shnayim Ochsin Betalis, but with an additional detail that the Mishnah didn't seem to mention. So Tani Rav Techlifa Bar Ma'arava, Rav Techlifa, who was a Ben Eretz Yisrael, taught Kamed Rabbi Avohi, taught the following halacha: Shnayim Adukim Betalis. If you have two people that are Adukim Betalis, Adukim means Ochsim. The Rishonim discuss why we would change the Lashon from Ochsim to Adukim. Maybe it has slightly different implications, but whatever it is, Shnayim Adukim Betalis, Zenotala that when the Mishnah said that you do a chaluka of the talis, that means of the portion of the talis that neither of them is physically grasping. But if whatever part I'm holding on to, that's mine. Whatever part the other party's holding on to, that's his. It's only the rest of the talis in between that gets split. So Machvile Rabbi Avo made a gesture to indicate Ubishvua, that about when we say that that it's cholkin, it's only cholkin bishvua, that you have to take a shvua, meaning you have to, it's a machlokes rishonim, on what? The pashtus is, you have to take a shvua on whatever it is you're going to take, even that which is already in your hand. Because since there were masakin the shvua, that for the purpose of shalei kalecha and holich v'tokif taliso shechavero, it's to prevent people from going and picking up other people's talesim and claiming it to be their own. So Tosus points out, and the Rush points out, that svara applies both on the portion that I'm holding in my hand and on the portion that I'm not holding in my hand. So I got to take a shvua on all of it. So even though it's not going to be a perfect 50-50 split, I'm going to get whatever's in my hand and he's going to get whatever in his hand, and the 50-50 split is only going to be on the rest of it, but I have to take a shvua on all of it. The Ramban quotes from a Ravid that when Rabbi Avo made this gesture, it was only on the part that was betoch yado, because on the rest, it's ein sarich lomar that you take a shvua, it's pshita, meaning not really arguing la halacha, it's just saying Rabbi Avo didn't need to say ubishvua on the rest. What he wanted to say is the chiddush is that you take a shvua on even the part that's in your hand. However, the Ramban then quotes a bahag, and this seems to be shita sarambam as well, that you do not take a shvua on that which is in your hand, only on the rest of it. And the reason is because whatever anyone is holding on to is considered as if it's completely cut off from the rest of the talis, and that is yours, and therefore it is not included in the chiyuv shavua. So that is the machlokas rishonim, what exactly Rabbi Avo was suggesting to take a shavua on. Only on the rest of the talis, only on the part that's in your hand, or on all parts of the talis. So says, okay, great idea. You're going to say that each one, whatever they're holding on to, they get to keep, and they only have to split the rest. It's not what the Mishnah said, though. When it says in the Mishnah that they split the talis evenly, where would that ever be true, what the Mishnah says, that you split it exactly evenly? Mishnah never said on makom she'ado maga'as, so where would you ever have the case where you actually split the talis exactly evenly, if in fact this halach is correct that you get on makom she'ado magas? So I'm Rav Papa de tafisi bekarkshasa, that if you're holding on to the trimmings at the very edge of the beged, so the guf ha-beged you're actually not holding on to at all, like we have those tassels right at the end of the talis, so each side is only holding on to the tassels. They're just holding, so the whole talis is what they're not a dukimbo. So then that would be the case of our Mishnah where you split the talis evenly. So the Gemara derives as far, so if that's true by a talis, so maybe we can derive from there a halacha legabe other kinyanim as well. Amar of Masharshi Shmami, no, we see from this brisa that everyone takes Masha Biyado, that high sudra, that if a person does a kinyan sudar, you're coming to be kona something, so you give the makna a sudar to be makna to him something. So we keep the tafis be shalosh al shalosh, as long as the makna holds the sudar be shalosh al shalosh as ba'os, and the rest of the sudar is it remains by the kona. So karin and bay, we still can say about the sudar v'nasan the re'ehu, that it's as if you've given over the sudar, meaning both people are holding on to the handkerchief. But as long as the makna has a portion that's 3x3 at ba'os in his hand, that's already called v'nasan the re'ehu, the command of pasuk dami v'kani, because as we're learning from this addition to our Mishnah, from this brisa, whatever you're holding into your hand is as if it's been cut off from the rest of the garment, and that's yours. So by the sudar also, even though they're both still holding on to it, as long as I'm holding a shalosh 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 portion of it, that's mine. I did a full-fledged kinyan sudar. Umayshna mid Rav Chista. Why is this din different than that which Rav Chista said? Rav Chista said that if a man is coming to divorce his wife and he gives get biyado umeshicha biyado, that get is in her hand, but he has a string that's attached to the get that he's still holding on to. So im yachol natko lavia etzlo inim magreshes. If he's able to yank on that string and pull the get out of her hand, then she's not magreshes vim lav. But if he's not able to pull the string and pull the get away from her, magreshes, then she is magreshes. But you see that it's that apparently it's not a valid nesina, even though the get is fully in her hand, as long as he's able to pull it out of her hand. And yet over here we said that when it comes to a kinyan sudar, well, as long as the guy's holding 3x3 atzbos, I could be holding the rest of it and I could yank it and pull it, it doesn't matter. He's got 3x3 atzbos in his hand, it's his. Whatever you're holding in your hand is totally cut off from the rest, and that's yours. So it says, no, 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 get is different, because you don't just need vinasan by a get, you need vikasavla sefer krisus v'nasan biyada. So hasam krisus be'inan. In order for a get to be valid, you need a sense of krisus, that the husband has totally cut off any connection. If he's still got a string that he could pull it, v'leka, then he doesn't have a sense of krisus. But hacha, b'pay kinyan sudar, nesina be'inan. You only need nesina, va'ika, and this meets the benchmark of the qualification for nesina, even though in a chinami, it is not a krisus. Now this idea that you need a sudar that's 3x3 etzbos in order for kinyan sudar to work is quoted in Shulchan Aruch that the kinyan sudar, and the explanation seems to be that it's got to be a davar chashuv. Rashi is medayik that kinyan sudar needs to be a beggar that sholosh al sholosh, because less than that shear is not bechlal kli, it doesn't count as a kli, and for a kinyan to take effect you need it to be a kli. Numuka Yosef highlights not about shame kli, but at least it has to be a davar chashuv, and less than gimel etzbos is not a davar chashuv. Haraya in dine tuma, less than 3 etzbos is not mekabel tuma. So you see, that's the definition of chashivos. So it needs to be 3x3 etzbos. So what do people typically use as a kinyan sudar? So if you use a kli, you know, that's one thing. You use a pen or something like that. So that this din is a din in a beged, in a cloth, that it's got to be 3x3 etzbos. But a lot of times what people will use is not a pen. So a yarmulke they use, if it's not one of the bottle cap yarmulkes, so it's 3x3 etzbos, that's fine. But people often use a gartel. Is a gartel 3x3 etzbos? So it's, in the long way, it's way more than 3 etzbos, but in the, it's very, very narrow. So sometimes you have thick gartels, but it's very, very narrow. So the poskim discuss whether that's a valid form of kinyan sudar. So the Kleisenberger has a tshuva about this, and he says, even though by Tumah there's a machlokes rishonim about such a beged, but as far as kinyan sudar l'chala deos, it's going to work, because even if it's not considered a beged, you don't need a beged for kinyan sudar. You need something usable, something chashuv, something valuable, and this is usable. It's something that has a function. And he discusses about, you know, about the Tumah of the beged, if it's less than gimel al gimel, whether it's mekabel Tumah. So, but he says for sudar for sure it works, and then he concludes that by kinyan that we typically use a kinyan sudar on, where you're not actually being kona anything, you're just being mechayiv yourself. Meaning, when do we do a kinyan sudar by a shtar tanaim or by a ksuba, where you're being mechayiv yourself in the ksuba? Well, the ksuba is already there; you're chayiv anyway. But it's a way of showing that I'm really accepting, you know, with a das shalim, or when you're memanah the rabbi is a shliach to be to sell your chametz, he's going to be your shliach, sell your chametz anyway. But you're showing that you're really taking it seriously. I'm not being makna anything to him. I'm not being makna mechametz to the rabbi. I'm being, so that type of kinyan sudar, he says, we're much more makalus. So that there would be no shaila to begin with. Meaning that for sure you could use a gartel. Wouldn't be an issue. In Rav Nassim Gestetner's tshuvas in the Horus Nassan, he says that you could do a kinyan sudar with such a beged, because it's a beged legabe tuma as well. He thinks that it's not an issue even the gabe tuma, that if it's a functional beged and it's really long, so then it's a beged the gabe tuma as well. So let's continue now. So Amar Rava, the Gemara explains the situation of the machlokas by a talus. In Maisa talus musheves, let's say you had a talus with gold in it, so cholkin, you would split that as well. So pshita, obviously you'd split it. Why not? So says Mar lo tzricha dekai dava be mitzi. The Rav is trying to tell me that in the case where the gold is in the middle of the talus, well, hanan pshita. Well, we already said that the middle part of the talus you split. So lo tzricha de mikra v'legabi chad. No, the case is that the gold is closer to one person's side of the talus. Mao de Tamus, I might have thought to Amrle, the guy who's closer to the gold could say plokachi. I think when we cut this talus in half, we should cut it this way, where all the gold ends up on my side. So Kamashman, Damrle, my chaz plakachi, plokachi. No, just cut it along the other way, where the gold gets cut down the middle, and that's a reasonable taina. Tan Rabbanan, Shnayim Adukin Bishtar. What if you have two people holding on to a shtar? Malva Omer Shalihi, the Malva says the shtar is mine, meaning it hasn't yet been paid, and therefore I get to hold on to it to get paid. V'nafal meni mitzasiv, and it and I dropped it, and now I found it, but we both found it at the same time, so that's why we're both holding on onto it. V'lova amar shalachahu, and the lover says, you're right, this is a valid shtar. I did borrow money from you. This was a real shtar. But uprativ lach, I've already paid it up. Afterwards, I already paid up my chov. And you returned the shtar from me, and I'm the one that dropped it. So yiskayim ashtar b'chol smav, divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds, you're mekayim the edus on the shtar, the signatures on the shtar, and once you know it's a shtar kosher, the malva is able to collect the chov with it again. I mean, he's able to collect the entirety of the chov, is the pashup shtar in Rebbe. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer yachloku, that the malva and the lova split the shtar. That you don't, he only has to pay half of the halva'a that's written in the shtar. You don't have to pay any more than half of the halva'a. So machlokas between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's notable who the people are that are being cholik over here, because in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchus Kibbut Aveim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that a son is not allowed to be soser divrei aviv. So there's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Is that only b'mili d'alma that you're not allowed to be? So what about divrei Torah? You're allowed to disagree with your father in divrei Torah. So the Shach writes that a son is not allowed to be cholik on his father, even shalom b'fanav. And the Taz says shalom b'fanav, it's mutter. And his raya is that we find a lot of times that the Torah is cholik on the Rosh. Why? Because the Rosh was already dead. It was shalom b'fanav, and therefore the Torah was allowed to be cholik on him. So the Be'er Sheva says, nah, I would have said that by divrei Torah, it's always mutter. Meaning you can't bring a raya from the Torah being cholik on the Rosh. When it comes to divrei Torah, the emes of Torah is what's most important. That's always got to be the priority. So it's always going to be mutter. Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Atzmas Yosef that it's mutter for a father and a son to argue with each other in halacha, and that's not called stiras divrei aviv. So one of the rayas that they bring is our Gemara, that Rabbi and Rav Shimon Gamliel are arguing in halacha, even though it was a father son relationship. Meaning the Rav Shimon Gamliel was the father, Rabbi was the son. So the Maariv Chayyus already brings up that point. How could they argue? So he says must have been shalom b'fanav, and when shalom b'fanav, it's mutalachlo kal divrei aviv shalom b'fanav. So again, either it's because it's a matter of Torah, and a matter of Torah you're allowed to do, or it's because it's shalom b'fanav and you're allowed to argue shalom b'fanav. But going back to our topic over here, so what do you do with this shtar that each person claims is theirs? The Malda and the Lovi each claim that it's theirs. So Rebbe says if you're mekayim the shtar, you can collect it fully. Rav Shimon Gamliel says yachloku nafli adayin. But the Brisa continues, if a dayin had the shtar, it wasn't the Malda and the Lovi, lo yitziu alamis. It remains in the hands of the dayin until we can prove one way or the other. Rabbi Yossi Omer harei b'cheskaso, that it's b'cheskaso kasher shtar, and the Malda is able to collect this chov even though a dayin is holding on to it. Samer Mar. So we said that according to Rebbe, yiskayim ashtar b'chosmav, the gavi le malva kule. And it says, ask the Gemara, really, the malva is able to collect the entirety of the shtar? V'lesle masnis and shnayim ochsin. Does he not hold of what the Mishnah says? That if shnayim ochsin betal, zemer kule shli, zemer kule shli, yachloku. How could it be that he's going to say that you could collect the entirety of the shtar? It's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says yachloku. So Rav Nachman explains the machlokas, Rebbe Moshe Gamliel, in the case where Rebbe is not going against our Mishnah, in a way that Rebbe is not going against our Mishnah. Amar Rav Rav Nachman, b'mekuyam divrei kol yachloku. No, if the shtar is mekuyam, Rebbe's not saying the Malva could collect the whole thing. No, it's yachloku. Ki pligi b'she'enu mekuyam. We're dealing with a shtar that's enu mekuyam. Rebbe sav moda b'shtar shekosavo tzarech l'kaimo. Rebbe says that even though the lova was moda, that he had written the shtar, and so long as they're not mekayim the chasimos ha'edim on that shtar, he could taina that he paid it afterwards, and therefore you need to be mekayim the shtar if you want to get any money from him. Mekayim le'palik. And if you're able to be mekayim the shtar, then we do yachloku. But v'lo mekayim le'palik. But if you're not mekayim the shtar with edim, so the lover could say it was already paid, and therefore the malva is not even able to collect half. He's not able to collect anything. My time, why is it that the lover is able to taina that it was already paid? Chasma bialmahu, because it's a piece of pottery that you can't collect with, because the whole thing might have been mezuyaf. Man kamashri le'lahai shtara. Who's the one that ever told us that this shtara had any validity to begin with? Is lova. Well, hakamar deperia. The lova also told us that it's been paid up. From Shem Gamliel Savar, modu b'shtar shaksavo, ein tzarech l'kaimo. Then no, once the guy has been molded in the shtar, there's no need to be mekayim the shtar anymore. It's considered a shtar mekuyam, and therefore valvagav the mekayim le yachloku. So both Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel agree that shnayim ochsin, and therefore it's going to be yachloku, but only yachloku if it's mekuyam. What they disagree about is the definition of mekuyam. Then Rav Shimon Gamliel says as soon as the lover admits it's a real shtar, that's considered mekuyam. Whereas Rebbe holds no, you actually need to be mekayim it. Nafali Adayin Lo Yitzi Olamas. We then said if it falls into the hands of the Dayan, then it stays there forever. Well, Maishan Li Adayin, why is it that we leave it in the hands of the Dayan as opposed to anybody else? Sam Rava Hachi Ka Amar. No, what it means to say is Va'achar Shematza Shtar Shanafal Li Adayin. If someone else finds a star that had previously been in front of a court and a Dayan had dealt with, it's not about that the Dayan found the star. No, we're talking about a special star that we know had previously been to a court and had been dealt with. That there's a kiyum of Beis Din written on the star. There's a certification of a Beis Din on the star. That's lo yotziu alamis. Neither the Malva nor the Lova could be motzi ratshiyav eliyahu, or edim are able to testify who's the one that dropped it. So we said that the star, if the star is the Bryce told about a case where the star is mukuyam, but the Bryce does not mean when the star is ainu mukuyam, the din is going to be any different. V'lomi bayu lo kas behenpek, meaning even all the more so if there was no kiyum on the star. Dikal lemeimar kas of lilvos v'lo lova, because then it could be that you just wrote a star with the hope of borrowing money and never ended up borrowing money. Even though it's a shtar mekuyam, the mekuyam still lo yachzid the chashin lepiron. You still don't return it because we're afraid that it's already been paid up. So that's when a third party finds a shtar mekuyam, and certainly a shtar she'ena mekuyam, you don't do anything with it because it might have already been paid up. Rabbi Yossi Yomar Arei b'chaskaso v'lo chashin lepiron. No, if you're mekayim the shtar, you assume that it's a valid shtar, and we're not choshesh that it's already been paid up. So says Gemara, what v'lo chayish Rabbi Yossi lepiron? Is Rabbi Yossi not choshesh that a star has already been paid up? Va'atanya matzah star ksuba b'shuk. If you find the ksuba in the b'shuk, bizman shabal mode, if the bal is mode that he hadn't yet paid the ksuba yachzir lishta, so good, then it's easy. Give the ksuba back to the woman. But ain't a bal mode. But if the bal thing says that he already paid the ksuba, lo yachzir lo lezev lo lezev, you return it to neither party. Rabbi Yossi Omer, oda tachas baylo yachzir liisha. If they're still married, you give it back to the woman. Because we don't believe the husband that he already paid up the ksuba while they're still married. Why would he? Nisarmala o niskarsha, but if they're divorced or she's a widow, then lo yachzir lo lezev lo lezev. Then you can't just give it back to the woman because it might be that it's already been paid up. Ooh, Rabbi Yossi is telling me it might be that it's already been paid up. Why by a ksuba does Rabbi Yossi think it might be already paid up? And yet when it comes to a shtar, Rabbi Yossi doesn't think it might already be paid up. Three resolutions. Number one, epuch. Switch the shitos in the first brisa. Nafli adayin lo yotzi alamis divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says no, it might be already paid up. You cannot do anything with it. The Chacham say you could still use it. Well, yachi kasha drabanan drabanan. Now you just made a stira out of the rabbanan. Okay, shtar ksuba kula Rabbi Yossi. The brisa about ksuba may be entirely the shita of Rabbi Yossi. V'chsuri machshavach iktani. And here's the way to read the brisa about the ksuba. There is no second shita. Ein abal moda lo yachzir lo lezev lo lezev. If the husband is not moda to the chiyuv, he claims he paid it, you don't return it to anybody. But that's only if the marriage is already over. But if they are still married, you give it back to the woman. Because that is shitas Rabbi Yossi, because no one pays up a ksuba before they get divorced. Once they got divorced, then you have to be choshesh, it's already been paid up. A second resolution of the stira in Rabbi Yossi, Rav Papa Amar, Liolam Lo Tepuch. You don't have to switch around the shitos in the first price. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not choshesh that it's already been paid up. Aye, what about by the ksuba? Rabbi Yossi is choshesh. Rabbi Yossi, the Devreim, the Rabbanan Kamar Luhu. He was talking to the Rabbanan within their shita. Lidi diafilin samlan eskashin nami lo chashin lepiron. I think even if the marriage is over, we don't have to be choshesh it's been paid up, because I'm never choshesh that the star has already been paid up. But lidit who? You who think that I always have to worry that it might be paid up. At least be mold if they're still married. He probably hasn't paid it. The lavas pironi, because it's not time to pay it yet. So the Rabban would respond back, even if they're still married, I'm choshesh that maybe he gave her something to hold on to so that she won't have a hard time collecting when the time comes to collect. A third resolution in how to resolve the stira in Rabbi Yossi, Ravina Omar, liolam epuch kamaisa, that really we could switch around the first brisa. And Rabbi Yossi is the one that that's choshish lepiron and not the chachamim. That they say someone who's parea to would tear the shtar right away. So if the shtar is still here, it hasn't been paid. V'taymid rabban hacha. The reason we said the problem with switching Rabbi Yossi the sheet of Rabbi Yossi in the first price is that it leaves you with the stira and the chachamim. No, the reason for the chachamim in the second price and not to give the isha back her shtar ksuba is not because I think it's already been paid up. It's mishum the cheshin l'shtei ksubos. Is because I think it's been replaced. That maybe after they lost the shtar ksuba, they wrote another one because that's what you do. Because you're not supposed to live with your wife without a ksuba. Rabbi Yossi the shtei ksubos lo chayish. And Rabbi Yossi is not choshesh for shtei ksubos because apparently Rabbi Yossi thinks you don't need to write another ksuba that you're allowed to stay with your wife without a ksuba. So that seems to be the nekudas hamachlokas. Now Amar Rabbi Lazar machlokas b'shashneihem adukim. Betofus of Shnei and Betoref. Avlecharach aduk Betofus, vecharaduk Betoref, zenot Totofus, zenot Totoref, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Liolam Cholkin. That the whole machlokas about splitting a shtar is if they're both holding both the Tofus and the Toref, both the part that has the legal language and the part that has like the specific details. But if they're, if one is holding the Toref and one is holding the Tofus, then the Rabbi Lazar says they each take the part that they're holding. And Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? They're going to split it either way. You don't each take the part that they're holding. Wait, does Rabbi Yochanan say, even if one is holding the Tofus, one is holding the Toref, they split it, Tanya, Zenot al Makam Shadu Magas. What about by the Talis? We said, whatever's in your hand, you keep. So, Letzicha Dekari Toref Bei Mitzi. We're talking about where the Toref is in the middle. Yachim al Meimro. Well, then what's the Chiddush? Letzicha de Mikrov Legabichad. It's closer to one side. So, Mal de Tema, Amale Plo Kachi. I might think that he could say, let's split it this way. Kamashman, my husband plug tachi, plug kachi. Why would you split it that way? Let's split it the other way where we each get exactly half. So Benjamin, tomorrow we're going to discuss what does any of this mean? You cut the shtar in half? Is that what splitting a shtar really means? So Benjamin, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.